Some one of the Israelites would, you know. I had one of those come to Jesus moments. Anybody ever have a come to Jesus moment when they were reading scripture? Yeah, right. I have to admit it. I found out I was an Israelite, you know. I even made myself a name tag to remember it, being such a fashionista that I am. I am a complainer. At least I'm in good company. Now, of course, you won't hear me complaining out loud a lot because, you know what, pastors don't do that. That wouldn't look right, would it? So I have this running thing in my mind. I thought, well, I'll just kind of keep track of it for a day. The paper got so long I couldn't bring it today. So here's some of the things I was thinking about. Can't they be on time for a change? I don't want to get up and go to that appointment, right? I'm tired. I'm hungry. It's too hot. It's too cold. Tell me if you hear yourself in any of this, right? Then I go, oh, this food tastes terrible. I took that one back because I cooked it. Then I said, why couldn't they make their bed? Why couldn't they clean up their room for once? Some of you parents ever say that one, right? You know? And then, does he have to be on the news all the time? And you know who I'm talking about, right? Complain, complain, complain. Now, you may not think you are, but I challenge you. You track it for a week. Oh, track it for a half a day. You'll know how much they do. So what I want you to do is turn to your neighbor and tell them what your biggest complaint is that you complain the most about. But don't take long because they don't want to hear it anyway. All right, all right. See, I knew that wouldn't take long. I've been thinking about this. Do you think that you could have followed Moses and not complained? How many? How many think they could? You know, my first complaint would have been, there are no restrooms and there's no toilet paper, right? Then I would have moved on, where's the motels? And then Quick Trip, because you got to have your coffee or, you know, Starbucks, whatever it is, you know. But grumbling and criticizing the leadership and complaining about everything, that seems to be a big part of the Old Testament, doesn't it? Particularly with the Israelites. And then I thought, and I suspect for most of our lives, that is true too, right? They grumble against Moses. They grumble against God. Now, granted, most of their complaints were about real human needs, right? We need something to eat. We need a, you know, a halfway decent pair of shoes on. Those sandals must have gotten pretty bad in the desert. I can't imagine that, right? You know, they complained about having some meat, some normal things. And I thought, you know what? They really weren't bad because I thought to myself, I can add a few things. Like, how come I can't have more money? You know, or how come they never do what I expected them? Those expectations of other people. Oh, I forgot to throw in and they never answer my emails. That was one. You know, a few of those things, you know. And I think part of the problem is they had the same problem that most of us have. We can only see this little picture. It's kind of like we see today, and we can't see God's long-term picture. So, you know, and when we can't see where we're going, we'll get fearful, right? And then we're afraid that what we really need, we're not going to have, right? And you know what always happens when we think things are bad? We think about the good old days. And that's what they did, right? They thought about those good old days in Egypt. And I thought, what good old days in Egypt? But then I think about that too for us sometimes when we talk about those good old days, which I'm not really sure ever existed, but we like to think that they did, right? They're afraid they're going to die in the wilderness. They're afraid that they're never going to get to go home to this place that God had promised, right? So the Israelites start complaining to Moses, and they say, oh, how I wish that God had just put us to death. You know, why didn't he leave us in Egypt? You know, we could be sitting there by the pots, eating the meat and the melons. Doesn't it sound like the good old days? You know, the melons, you know. Why did Moses make them go? Do you think Moses made them go? I don't think so, but it's always easier to blame somebody else because we don't like to make mistakes. Or is that admit them? I don't know which it is. But besides that, God wasn't answering their complaints fast enough, was God? You know, and you ever have that problem? God doesn't answer them fast enough. Yeah, it works for me too. But God did respond to their complaints. God gave them manna, this kind of flaky, dewy stuff that they had to pick up in the morning. And I thought, well, I know what would happen if I fed that to my kids. Come think of it, doesn't sound too good either, does it? Anyway, so they complained about that, and God had given them that, but pretty soon they got really sick of that manna, right? And so then they complained, well, who's going to give us that meat dish? We had fish, tilapia probably or something. When they were in Egypt, they had that great fish, right? And all those fruits, he says, and then they say, here I am, we're just wasting away. And I thought, well, at least that's one complaint I've never made. Right, you know, but God listened to their complaints and answered their prayers, which tells me sometimes God hears us even when we're complaining, you know. So God gives them quail. So they enjoy the quail, and then guess what? They complain again because they don't have any water, right? And when that wasn't answered promptly, then they say, we're going to complain about Moses' wife. I don't know what she had to do with it, but they were complaining about her. And then they complained about Moses and Aaron and everybody else. Complain, 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 I thought, you know. Why didn't they appreciate anything that God was giving them? And I thought, why weren't they grateful? And I thought, I don't have to answer that because I am one of them, aren't we? We always want something more. God can give us bread. But then we want a hamburger on it, don't we? You know, God can give us water, but then I want it to be iced tea or coffee, at least flavored water if you're going to give it to us, right? You know, and we don't want just the hamburger, by the way. We want a whole freezer full of meat so we don't have to worry about what might happen in the future, right? Doesn't it seem like we always feel like we're lacking something? Something's just not there that we need, but if we had it, we'd be a lot happier, wouldn't we? So, in Numbers 11, one of my favorite things, Moses halves it with their complaining, right? He's just fed up, so what's he do? He does what any good pastor does when they're fed up. They complain to God, right? And they say, why did you make me a leader over these people? And he says, I can't bear these people anymore. God help me. If you're going to treat me like this, do what? Just kill me. I never had that happen here yet. Save these from these people, he says, you know. And I could tell you similar experiences in other churches, not here, or other pastors, because I've noticed that popularity and doing what God's calling you to do don't necessarily go together very often, you know. It's kind of like, I even have problems as a leader with my dog Capone, you know? I can be in my room trying to work on a sermon, scratch, scratch, scratch at the door. What do you want? He looks at me like, oh, I want out. So I let him out. And then I let him back in, go back to work on my sermon. Guess what happens just about 5 minutes later? Scratch, scratch, scratch. He wants a treat, right? So I give him a treat. And I kind of fiercely said, go lay down and leave me alone. And I get back into the sermon, and guess what happens? He is back again, you know? That's when I start complaining. Say, he's not even my dog. He's my grandson's dog. Why isn't he taken care of? I can complain about anything. I've decided that, right? You know, I even pray about him. I pray he'll become more like Lassie. Lassie was always so well behaved. Never had a problem. Why can't he be like that? You know, Moses trying to quit didn't work. God would not kill him. He wanted him to suffer more. I've decided that. So God continues just to use him and to use him, and you know, and I thought, and he also wanted to teach us about something in leadership, because leadership in a church is really great when everything's going our way, isn't it? When everything is falling to pieces, though, what happens? Complain and criticism, right? And it does make you want to quit. And I'm just not speaking for myself. I'm talking about any other people here that are in leadership. You know, it's hard to follow God's call, especially when people are criticizing you, because it makes you begin to question if you're even doing the right thing. You know, it's hard to follow God when it's inconvenient, and I've noticed God's pretty good about that, right? It's hard to follow God when it's difficult. It's hard to follow God when You just don't want to do it anymore. And let me tell you, I don't care what you're leading, every one of you have been there before when you thought you couldn't do it on that. You know? And it is hard to follow a leader when they go into uncharted waters like the Red Sea, right? Hoping that God is going to part those waters for you. And as somebody following a leader, the easiest thing to do is what? Complain, because that's what the Israelites did, right? So, skipping forward a little bit, when we get to Numbers 13, the Israelites finally make it to the wilderness of Paran, which is right by the Promised Land. Yet they end up spending the next 38 years right next to it, right? And we're going to talk more about that next week, about why they don't get into the Promised Land. But this is the one point that I want to make. Their lack of faith, their lack of gratitude in God, their propensity to complain kept them from going into the Promised Land. It kept them from getting God's blessing on themselves and on their children. The Israelites knew the desert wasn't the land that God promised them, but they knew they were going to have to make a trip, and that they were in that travels, in their lives, there were going to be hardships they ran into. But yet, in this barren wilderness, God fed them. God watered them. God made sure they had things that they needed, defended them from their enemies, right? He never left them alone. In fact, he traveled with them in a tabernacle and had a tent, the God of a tent. That's how close God wanted to be with them. In the wilderness is where the Israelites learned about God's faithfulness. God wasn't content to stay away from the Israelites, just as God isn't content to stay from us, you know. Sent Jesus, who was walking and talking and eating and traveling in the wilderness as well, just like the Israelites did. God came to be one of us, right? And God loves us and wants to be closer to us if we don't let our complaints keep him away. Keep him away from being able to give us that blessings in our life. We can be covered in blessings, but we need to set aside that fear that we won't have enough, that fear that there won't be food, there won't be someone to love us at the end of our lives or whenever it might be, you know. We have to get away from that fear of not having enough. We have to get away from our fear of saying, I can't live just one day at a time. Lord, I got to know that I've got enough for that. So as our worship band prepares to sing, I have something special for you. I liked my badge so much that I got a couple of people that are going to help pass these out, that I have something for you to take home today. And you can look just like the fashionista that I am. When you get this, you may put it on the I am complainer side first, because I think that's our normal way we wear these, right? Jan. Let's get those passed out real quick, if we could. Well, we got to get one for you, too, because you're not exempt from this. Don't forget the band.
Don't forget the band.
Yes, give them their complainer badge.
I know there might be a few extra, if there are. If anyone thinks there's someone in their at home or their family that needs one, take it.
Huh? Don't forget the chosen one back there, right? And the children, you think the children need them? What is that telling us, right? Well, we'll see how far they stretch. Okay, does everybody pretty much have theirs? All right, so what I want you to know is that there is an opposite side to your badge. Where we all have I am a complainer, on the other side is I am grateful. And every morning you have a choice of how you're going to live your life. You can get up in the morning and you can say, oh my God, this is a horrible thing, I have to get up. It's early, the alarm's going off, oh no, it's raining, I don't have time for breakfast, he may not make it back to play in the band. There can be all these things that you might come up with to complain about. And you could wear this side. And so if this is by your room, then you can put that side on. But you have a choice too. What other side could you put on in the morning? You could put this up and you could say, thank you, God, for another day that I can follow what you're calling me to do, that I can actually make a difference in the world. And every day you can make a difference in the world, but you won't do it if you're complaining, right? Don't be like the Israelites who were never satisfied. Be grateful to God, and you too will enjoy his blessings.